One of them, straight off the bat, is the idea that sport and competition, it's a very black and white outcome. You win or you lose. There can be an enormous investment in that dichotomous outcome. And of course, in life, things are rarely black and white like that. There are many more shades of grey and nuances than a simple win or lose kind of outcome. And that can be enormously psychologically damaging for somebody who's invested an enormous amount of themselves and their time and their energy in order to, in effect, lose, in order to effect fail. So the idea, even just from a starting point, that when you invest heavily in something which has a kind of a simplistic, if you like, outcome, doesn't necessarily set somebody up very well for managing the slings and arrows of normal adult life, where the nuances are far more subtle than you win or you lose.
Say a professional athlete loses. In what form does that distress kind of present itself? Is it in sadness? Is it in lack of motivation, typically?
All of those things, and problematically mostly in terms of self-criticism, self-punitive reflection, that that person is at risk of becoming highly self-critical, highly self-analytical in a non-productive way. So there's certainly one of the things that sport teaches us is to how to lose and how to lose well and how to reflect in a healthy way on what we might do better next time or what we can learn from the experience in order to grow and develop in some sort of way. And that's, you know, hopefully is the more typical response. But it also predisposes somebody to incredible self-critical thinking and sense of inadequacy and incompetence.
Taking this to the next step, when it comes to the end of a professional athlete's career, is that something that you typically prepare for?
I think that's something that's increasingly being recognised, thank goodness, is that, yes, there needs to be a transition process from competing as one's primary focus to then moving to what next in life and how to do that next. It lessens what's been described as like a grief process of you know, the loss of one's competitive self and how to then grow and develop one's post-competitive self and how to do that successfully.
And how do you make that transition?
I guess the starting point to that is by thinking about it, by being aware that this will come to an end and what consideration the athlete has about what they will do when it comes to an end. Again, what's difficult is you don't know when that might be. It could be prematurely ended through injury. It could be a career that continues far longer than the person expected it would be. Tennis players often be an example of that. But the preparation in terms of whilst competing, looking at alternative career choices, looking at the opportunities to study, developing social networks that may facilitate then transitioning out of competitive life into post-competitive life. And so with a number of athletes that I've seen in the clinical context, one of their biggest psychological hurdles has been the ability to give up the expectation of themselves being able to compete. Their identity gets very, very fused with themselves as a competitor and somebody who's in that social circle, and their friendship groups and so on are all based around that. And if you're injured, you no longer are able to compete, your loss isn't just that you're no longer winning prizes or winning events. Your loss is much more profound than that.
Do you see that some are eager to give it up?
To be honest, not the ones that I've seen, no. It's been more the sense that it's been taken from them and their sense of injustice that this occurred is a real sense of unfairness, that this life that they had either begun to experience or had experienced was unfairly taken from them. And that's, again, psychologically a really difficult place to be.
How about even the psychology of being a professional athlete? There is so much that goes into that that is physically strenuous, emotionally and mentally strenuous. How much do we craft them to get to that point only to take it away from them again?
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's, I think, in many cases very true. To be a successful elite athlete, you have to have a number of those qualities already. I think they're not things that can be sort of developed without there already being a very strong sense of discipline, strong sense of organization, being able to manage time and so on. But yes, it's one of the dilemmas I guess we're focusing on here, is that what works really well for you as an athlete can work very badly for you as a social being, as a co-worker in a team, that kind of thing, depending on the situation. And being a competitive athlete, even when you're in a team, but particularly if you're competing individually, is that you're very self-focused. You spend a great deal of your time and energy on yourself. and maximizing your capacity and your ability and so on. And whilst that's absolutely as it should be for the purposes of competing, obviously that's not ideal when it comes to other aspects of life.
We may have touched on this, but how about taking away the other side, which is the 3 a.m. wake-up calls, jumping into the pool, jumping on the field, you having that strict timeline to be physical and keep your endurance and health up. If you take that away from someone, I know if I don't go for a run for 2 weeks, I feel a bit slumped. That must be a pretty rough transition too.
Oh, for sure. There's very good evidence that exercise has important qualities for mood and, in fact, can be a treatment for depression in certain cases, a purely exercise-based intervention for depression. So, yes, flipping the other way around, if you take the exercise away, the propensity to have mood deteriorate, and it sort of taps into this thing about that's who I am. I'm an athlete. I compete. That's what my friends know of me. That's how I relate to people around that. And when that goes, either through injury or natural sort of aging and competitive, that can be very, very difficult for people to maintain. On the upside, a lot of elite athletes are by nature very disciplined and very, very good at time management, setting goals for themselves and so on. So being able to transition out of doing that for competition and doing it more for lifestyle and wellness factors, they often can make that transition through the natural discipline that they've already got.
When we're looking at this transition period to help athletes, what support services are typically out there?
In terms of general mental health, I suspect it's still it's largely in society that we wait till things go wrong and then we intervene rather than looking more preventatively. And that's maybe an area that we could do better with. From my personal take on it is that in many ways, professional athletes, and particularly looking at things like rugby league, rugby union, soccer, you know, the big sports in this country, cricket, are actually leading the way in terms of destigmatizing mental health. It feels to me that athletes in those fields are becoming increasingly confident to be able to talk about the difficulties that they have with mental health, and that slowly is becoming less and less stigmatized. And I was reading something the other day where there's a reference made to, well, the rugby league players can talk about it now, so it must be okay. So it feels to me like we actually, there's some positive changes happening when it comes to tough athletes don't cry kind of idea, and that's becoming more recognized that those tough athletes are also human beings and they're going to struggle like all of us struggle at times.